Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Frat House Sports Gang working overtime here in the garage on a Friday night. Yeah, it's a Friday night, and we're bringing you the Frat House Sports' Race Through Motorsports Hour, coming to you here on a special evening. Why? Well, because we have a Saturday race. And so when we have a Saturday race, you can expect that the garage is going to be open. This only happens 7 times during the entire season. This just happens to be the first time in 2016. Got the garage open late, got the guys here, and we're not working real hard. We're kind of just sit back over the next hour and a half, put our feet up on a couple of oil cans here probably, and we'll just chat about what we can expect down in, the big old Longhorn State down there in Texas tomorrow night as we go to that mile and a half. Coming off of that half miler there, though, last weekend, at Martinsville. And very, very interestingly, you know, as I sat and I watched that race last week, I was kind of remembering back to some of the conversations we had right here last Sunday morning about Martinsville and about some of the things that we should be watching for. And very, very interestingly, while there were 8 cautions at that particular race, none of them really were as a result of what Sidekick likes to call that kind of bumping and grinding that we would see at the short tracks. Wasn't so much that. It was more just kind of spins on the corners. And, oh boy, tire wear was certainly an issue. And we saw that all throughout the race. And invariably, a lot of times, that's what, in fact, caused those cautions. Certainly what caused Denny Hamlin to end up, with a 39th place finish after he hit the wall in lap 221. Why? Tire wear. That's what it was. But one of the other things we did talk about in last week's program, you might remember, was how interesting that top 10 lineup looked going into Martinsville, what qualifying looked like. And interestingly enough, some of it, in fact, did translate into how the finishes came down. Look at here with A.J. Allmendinger with a second place finish, Kyle Larson number 3. Austin Dillon, number 4. Brian Vickers got a 7. Paul Menard in the number 8. Ryan Newman got a number 10. Who got the big one, though? Well, hey, first time ever at Martinsville, first win of this particular season. Kyle Busch swept Martinsville this past last weekend, having won also the Camping World Truck. So 2 grandfather clocks in his house. That's what he went home with. Very, very interesting races last week. We're going to be taking a look at it. We're going to be taking a look also as well, like I said, at the big race coming up tomorrow evening down there in Texas at Texas Motor Speedway. And to do all of that on this Friday evening, we're going to be joined in by a very special guest. You've heard him here on here with us before just a couple of weeks ago, I guess way back beginning of February or so. You were introduced to Christian Coley, the editor of the NASCAR News Source, will be joining us at about 7:30 this evening. You heard Christian, like I said, back with us here on February 11th on our Frat House Sports Show. And I'm going to tell you something. This is one sharp kid who knows his NASCAR and can talk about it. Well, listen, certainly a whole heck of a lot better than I can, that's for sure. If anybody wants to jump in with us here on this Friday evening, please don't hesitate to do so. Encourage it. As I did last evening, at least a couple of us here in the garage are not feeling 100% for sure. So certainly encourage it. 347-826-9964 is how you can get us here in the garage. 347-826-9964. If you were listening on a computer and Skype ready, well, hey, just hit the Skype button. It'll put you through to Sod Clear. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in the Blog Talk Radio chat room or hit me up on Twitter at FrathouseMike. Well, let's get the rest of the gang in here. I've got Sidekick, who sounds like he was running around like a chicken without his head there for a couple of minutes right before the show. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for you guys being sick, but I'm about overworked. I'm ready to throw everything out.
I think I'm just dealing with what I normally deal with in April. I think it's just seasonal allergies. That's what I think, but it's, you know, with this early spring that we've had. Ha, 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 early spring. They're calling for 5 to 8 inches of snow here tomorrow. But with this early spring that we've had here, it's just hitting harder than normal, so... I think that's what I'm
asking. Wow, you guys are getting that much?
That's what they're calling for.
Wow, I just looked at my AccuWeather app on my phone because I heard somebody else say that, and the AccuWeather app is like, oh, yeah, you're getting a dusting. It's going to rain and snow.
You know, that's, listen, on April 9th, that's what it should be, so let's certainly hope that's what it turns out to be. But Daughter Jen was showing me earlier on her phone an alert that it said 5 to 8 inches here in Schwanksville. So,
well, you are a little bit farther up from. I'm closer down to the city, so
yeah,
we might be.
Anyhow,
but wow, that's quite a variance.
Let's hope that's not the case. But anyhow, somebody else here, like you said, not exactly 100%, but jumping in with us as you did last night, Brandon. How are we?
Yep. How you doing?
No,
how you doing?
Yeah.
I think my voice is worse today than it was yesterday.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, Sidekick, you got to carry the program here this evening. So, hope you got that outline down.
I'm still waiting for it to print. I mean,
forget reading it. He's just hoping it prints.
At this point, yeah. That's why I was saying in the chat beforehand, in our private chat, and I'm like, this show's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, listen.
Because you know it will.
We'll get through.
Well, exactly.
These are the shows that turn out to be awesome.
You're not kidding. And as you've pointed out so many times before, it's you know, this program probably more than some of the others is a little more laid back. You know, we just kind of fly with it and see where it goes. Well, like I said, Christian will be joining us in here about 7:30. So that'll help out, right? Well, just like Christian let Christian run the program for the last hour. All right, anyhow. Oh, excuse me. So you're going to hear, like I said last night at the beginning of the program, you're going to hear a lot of that tonight, unfortunately, from me. Martinsville last week. Interesting stuff out of there. As we kind of suspected, I think Brandon, you brought it up on Sunday's program. You know, half mile short track, follow the leader 352 times behind Kyle Busch. Boy, he dominated. He just absolutely positively dominated this thing. And when we did see the cautions come out, like I said, it wasn't so much because there were, you know, they were getting into each other. It seemed like what you saw more often than not, it was as a result of tire wear. Tire wear was a big, big issue last week. Thoughts on Martinsville, guys?
I think you got a few surprises in the finishing order, which is nice. I mean, you got Allmendinger finishing second and charging, no less. He was actually closing. I saw the end of the race. Even though I wasn't in the frat house, I did manage to catch the end of it. And, you know, he was coming. You know, Kyle Larson got third, Dylan fourth. I mean, you had a lot of different, very different looking top five than we've been used to lately, which is good. I think that's good for the sport to get a mix, you know, of different different guys up front.
One of the things I had mentioned last week was, and I'm going to bring it up again tonight, you know, I'm kind of waiting for the, I'm waiting for the dark horse. You know, it's been, while the races have been exciting, they've been competitive. I think the change in the downforce has certainly helped make for more competitive racing. What I'm waiting for is I'm waiting for somebody we're not expecting to come out of the woodwork and win. We saw the starting order, Brandon, start out that way last week. We talked about that. Allmendinger was in the top 10. Larson was in the top 10. Dillon in the top 10. Newman was in the top 10. Menard was in the top. So what we saw here was really kind of almost an interesting replication of really the starting order is what you saw ultimately in the end. I think the big story, though, really that came out of those final laps was Matt Kenseth getting snake bit. Again.
Snake butt.
I mean, Kenseth was in a restart with 10 laps remaining. He started out number two and ended that's with only 10 laps remaining in the entire race. There were 10 laps remaining. And mind you, this is a half mile. So you eat up laps very, very quickly. He started out second. He ended up 15th because as they were coming off, he got stuck in the high groove, and that was it. Nobody was letting him in. So he got shuffled all the way back to 15th and ended up 15th. It's kind of been Kansas all season, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's not had the greatest of luck this year. I mean, it started at Daytona. His own teammate kind of did the same thing, shuffled him back, and I think he ended up somewhere around 15th. He's not had the best endings of races this year, that's for sure.
Could happen to a better guy.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. You know,
sidekick still won last year.
I was gonna say, here comes the anti JGR hate. You know, and that's what we got here. We got the JGR hate coming out here.
No. I was gonna actually congratulate Kyle on getting his first clock.
Oh, well, now there, that's
you know,
different. That's different.
You know, I still have a little beef with the Toyota guys, but it's...
You're crazy?
It's mainly focused at Matt Kenseth, you know. A little bit of Carl Edwards, but he's getting a little better than he used to be. You know, old whiny over there.
We'll talk about Carl. We'll talk about Carl. He got the he's got the pole for tomorrow. He's got the pole for tomorrow at Texas, so that just came in. I was waiting on sending the outline out until actually the qualifying order was finalized. But I just happened to notice that almost right before we went on the air was that Carl's got the pole for tomorrow, Texas. So there's JGR up front again. But we'll get into a little bit of that. Congrats there to Kyle. Absolutely. I mean, first time winner out of Martinsville, and like I said. Not only won Sprint Cup, but then won the truck race as well. So he ends up with two big old grandfather clocks. What else came out of Martinsville sidekick that jumped off the sheet at you?
I guess what we mentioned. The reverse order of things. God, I would have loved to have seen a couple more laps on the end of that race to see AJ try to get a run on Kyle. I mean, that was...
I don't know if he was going to get it, though.
He was making up ground, but there just wasn't... You know, there just wasn't enough race left. You know what I mean? For him to really, you know... If we had had, you know, maybe, you know, another caution or, you know.
Actually, I don't think a caution would have helped him, Dave. It looked like it took AJ a couple laps to get going after the restart. And then he was slowly eating into Kyle. And I think if they'd had a little longer run, he might have got him. But, you know, I think Kyle was faster on the get-go. So, yeah, like you said, a few more laps would have been what he needed.
Right.
Kyle just was running fast all day long. I mean, all day
weekend.
Long. And what was interesting was that when we saw that tires were becoming an issue for some other drivers, it didn't seem so much to the number 18. He was able to get those long green flag runs out of the tires, where others it just kind of seemed that a lot of them were dying on the vine with those with the used up tires. So it was a very interesting sort of situation with Kyle's car. I don't know. Maybe that's why he got the warning at the end of it on Wednesday, right? They passed down a warning to him. You guys saw that one that he got the team got a. Well, I think it's their second warning. I think it's their second warning of the season already.
What were they warned for?
They did not pass the laser inspection twice in pre-race.
Oh, no.
Twice. Yes. Twice.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. So.
The laser inspection.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
They have a laser system now that apparently looks at parts of the car to a certain tolerance. They were rating them up last year for that.
Yep. Well, that's the second
Johnson
one. Apparently,
got a bunch of them last year.
They're allowed
after,
up to four. They're allowed
I think
up
after,
to four.
Yeah. After that, you lose your pit selection.
Correct.
For the next
correct.
Race.
Yeah.
That's right.
That happened to Jimmy Johnson.
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, hey, that's like Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knauss. You know what
yep.
I mean? Yeah. If you ain't getting warnings, you ain't trying hard enough. You know what I mean? Yeah, that differentiates the winners from the, I got a top 10 run. I mean, you know, some of the blatant stuff, yes, but.
Well, now I'm trying to think here. The other thing that came out of it, I found this rather interesting too, and I had sent this one out earlier to you guys, and I think it was maybe the day after the race or so. And I got to be honest, I was having a little difficulty right at the very beginning trying to find the race myself. Of course, it was not on Fox; it was on Fox Sports 1. Ratings way down on this, and they're actually attributing it to the fact that it was over on FS1, that Fox Sports did not do a good enough job in promoting that it was over on FS1, and a lot of regular viewers gave up the hunt. You know, screw it. I can't find the damn thing. You know, lost patience. Where the hell is this race at? And apparently that was the ratings. Yeah, you know, interestingly, we saw that on numerous sporting events this past week, guys. The you know, I brought it up on last night, right, on the Frat House Sports Show, the NCAA final. The NCAA final was down one third the ratings from a year ago because it was on TBS and not on CBS. And here they jump over to Fox Sports 1. And some of the blame gets put. And, you know, you got to think that NASCAR is not going to be very happy about that one. You know, they're probably going to be, you know, hey, Fox, get your act together. Right? Get this thing promoted a little better, will you? For God's sake, you know, these are our sponsors. You know, we got to get those Kentucky Fried Chicken ads in, huh?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I wasn't going to say anything. You know, I was going to try and hide my ignorance of the Martinsville race. But since you brought it up, you know, I figured, because I tape all the races. Well, I set it to, you know, my DVR to tape the race. That way, if something happens, I can always go back and watch it. So when we do the show, I can speak, you know, like I actually watched the race. Well, Sunday was opening day. I watched my Cardinals just look like junk against the Pirates. And I thought the tape was race or the race was taping. I go into my DVR, race isn't there. Like, what the hell? Flip to 29, race isn't there. What the hell? go to NASCAR.com. Oh, the race is on FS1 today. So I literally got to watch like the last 20 laps of the race. And, you know, and I'm like, why aren't the DVR smart enough to know that, okay, it's not on Fox, it's on FS1. It's still NASCAR.
Right.
Why aren't you taping the race for me? You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think you have to set it up per channel. I've ran into that before,
yeah,
too, unfortunately.
So that kind of ticked me off because I was sitting here screaming because I honestly, as bad as a baseball game was and I wanted to watch the Cardinals, I would have switched. You know what I mean?
And
but I assumed that it was.
That was a bad baseball game. I had that game on here at Fred Hill Sports at the same time that I had the race on. So I was watching that Pittsburgh Cardinals game, and that was a really your guys looked horrible.
They did.
You know, now I'm going to be honest with you. I don't expect them to look that bad throughout the entire season. Although you got to wonder whether Pittsburgh is the real deal. That's I think what's more interesting. But interestingly, yeah, on this race that was over on FS1, guys, are you ready for this? How about a 42% drop in rate? 42%. Dropped in ratings from 2014. In 2 years, from 2 years ago. Whoa. That's big.
Yeah.
That is big. And you know, Sidekick, I'm going to bet a lot of people it was exactly the same scenario that you're talking about. You know, they thought
it
was on one. They thought it was on one, and they go to that one, and people just go, well, it's not on. It must be later. It must be coming on later. It's something that nobody ever bothers to check. You know. Oh, boy. Mm. Yeah, so anyhow, that was the other thing that came out of.
I would really like to, and we've talked about this so many times, you know, with different packages, how much of that is of cable packages, how much of that is the fact that it's not on a regular channel versus it's on one of these, you know, other, you know, outlying sports channels. Now, granted, FS1 isn't really an outlying sports channel, say, like a, you know, like a Versus used to be, or, you know, or, because I don't even think Versus is around anymore.
Well, it became NBC Sportsnet.
Oh, okay. See, I asked. You know, like,
well,
I know
the
I get
one
like
of the myriad
big
of ESPN channels. Myriad. Of, yeah. I mean, ESPN's got, what, they got about 10 different channels now, right? I mean, that's just, you know.
Yeah, the package I have with DirecTV, I get FS1. I wasn't getting FS2. So to get in order for me to get the Supercross, I had to go and up my package so I could get FS2. So I don't know if some of these folks that are having some of these lower end tier cable packages.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
They're
actually getting
FS1.
It.
You know what I mean? I just always assumed that FS1 was kind of included.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I heard some people say, making the same claim as Sidekick with regard to TBS on the NCAA final. I kind of assumed that TBS was a part of all the standard packages. But apparently, I don't know. Apparently, that's not the case. Now,
and it also, and there's so many carriers, it's hard to tell who
is carrying,
you know,
what.
Like last year, as an example, you know, I'm out in St. Louis and I'm on Charter. My mom got FS1, but because of some dispute, they weren't airing the Nationwide series or the Xfinity. Nationwide, I think, was what it was last year, but. But you know, the Sprint Cup, you got, but the other races you didn't.
That's bizarre.
You know, and if it's because of a contract dispute, so you know what they did was, you know, they put on international dart throwing.
Oh, there
you
go.
Know, and put a big thing at the bottom. Hey, you know, call Fox Sports, tell Fox that, you know, they're screwing you. You know.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you go talk to Fox, and Fox is saying, no, Charter, you need to talk to Charter because Charter's screwing you. And, you know,
international
and it's the point
throwing. Wow, that sounds like a frat-out Mike sport if I ever
heard. Oh, yeah.
right
I
there.
Wonder if that had, I wonder if that had anything to do with it being a competing cable company. Like Xfinity against Charter, you know what I mean?
Right.
No, what it was when I actually dug into it, Charter had, I believe, had the longest contract with Fox Sports.
Right.
So what happened was, or with Fox. So when they went with this new Fox 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that stuff, they negotiated new contracts with every other carrier except for Charter. Or, I'm sorry, AT&T U-verse. I'm sorry. I'm misspeaking. But, so what they did was, since they were still under contract with U-verse, they said, hey, we're going to charge you a premium for the Xfinity races. And AT&T said, no, no, no. We've got a contract. It says we get all the Fox programming. We're not paying it. So Fox said, okay, fine. If you're not going to pay the premium, you're not getting the races.
I wonder how they finally settled that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I'm thinking about this and I'm recollecting back to, and mind you, I mean, you know, I'm in school for communications. I'm studying communications back in the late 70s, early 80s, back before the dawn of everything that really has blown up, you know, cable blowing up, internet access blowing up, so many different outlets, so many different, you got Cable back then, you know, even cable that was available was probably limited to about 27 channels, you know. Now with it, everything being digital, you've got so many different channels, it's not even funny. So back at that time, I remember us talking about, all of us in communications classes, talking about things like, you know, public access and access availability of certain things via the public airways, CBS. NBC, ABC, you know, those things, and how that was not to be tampered with. That was not to be regulated in any way. There was not to be a limitation on the ability for people to receive those frequencies. All right? In other words, you couldn't charge a premium for them. All right? That was always the rule. Well, now, you know, I go to something like the NCAA tournament, which is a CBS broadcast. Let's get this straight. But they're sharing it over to TBS. And because some people don't have TBS, we're not going to get it? Well, how does that fit into... It's obvious that the definitions have all changed. In other words, what I'm pointing out. You know, there is no such thing now as certain frequencies that can't be tampered with. Obviously, everything is for sale. That's the bottom line.
Well, here's the problem, though, or at least maybe they're robbing Peter to pay Paul down the road. In other words, they're trying to force people, you know, or cable companies, providers, satellite providers, to pay a premium for TBS. But aren't they going to take a hit on ad revenue with the ratings drops? You know what I'm saying? I would think CBS makes a fortune off that final on, you know, the NCAA final on their broadcast air network. You got to think the time for a commercial, you know, far outweighs whatever they could get on TBS.
Right.
So clearly, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to hold people hostage. They're trying to hold people hostage first, and then, you know, by default, it holds the providers hostage. You know, maybe it's their way of counteracting all these on-air streaming, you know, services. I mean, a lot of people don't even carry regular TV anymore. They
exactly.
Just do streaming. You know, they stream everything through a couple of different stream services and end up paying a whole lot less. Now, I don't know if you can get quite everything you want that way, and it's probably a hell of a lot more complicated, but, you know.
Well, for instance, the NCAA championship, I watched on the internet. I was working in that, you know, here at the house, and...
And it's free. It's free. You don't
it
pay
was
for
free.
It.
Yep.
That's right.
Pulled it right. I watched the final on the, you know, I watched that buzzer beater on the, you know, right on my laptop while I was working.
Yep.
You
and
know,
see, that's what kills me is that if it's free on the internet, well, then why do people have to pay for it? Simply because perhaps maybe in my locale, my little network, my little neighborhood that I live in, some, pardon my French, douchebag cable provider is going to nail me for a premium for TBS. That's my point. See, I think that that's wrong. There should be certain quote unquote frequencies that are accessible to all. That's my point. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, that's probably why it was on the internet for free.
Gotcha. I got you.
You know what I mean? CBS said, hey, you know, this is a big deal for us. People need to be able to watch it. If they don't have CBS, then it'll be on the internet so they can go watch it on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I'm going to tell you right now, so I can think about this, the socioeconomics of it for a moment. If I'm not of the means to have perhaps one of the better cable packages, I'm probably – there's a very good chance I might be in the same bracket that would not necessarily have the ability to have internet access. And let's not forget, you know it as well as I do, there are a lot of people yet in this country that do not have internet access in their homes. There are a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We live here. For granted.
Exactly. We live here in the densely populated Eastern Corridor where, it's unheard of. It's unheard of not to have internet access. But there are a lot of areas across this country that do not have internet access. And that's just the norm. That's the norm. So we're going to take a look at one of the other things I want to get into here for a moment. And we'll do that. I see we got our guest, and I want to get Christian in with us. We'll do it with Christian as well. We'll just pull him in on this little observation. Interestingly, looking at the standings now after race number 6 at Martinsville, didn't change a heck of a lot. Didn't change a heck of a lot. Of course, Kyle moved upward because of his win now. But what I find interesting now is when you get down to 15, 16, 17, 18, when you get into those bubble regions, I guess really more, 14 through 20, that's where it starts to get interesting. Let me get our special guest coming in with us. We haven't spoken with Christian since way back very beginning of February, February 11th or so. We're joined in here this evening by Christian Colley, who is the editor and founder of the NASCAR News Source. Christian, thanks for joining us here tonight on the Race Trim Motorsports Hour. We are talking nothing but NASCAR for the next hour. How are you?
Good to be here. We're doing good here. Doing pretty good here.
Appreciate
a lot of change,
that.
A lot.
Huh? What's that? I didn't get that.
A lot has changed. A lot has happened, I guess you could say.
Yes, it certainly has. And I wanted to start off by getting your impressions because, when we had you on at the beginning of February, we were kind of talking about the beginning of the season. We were speculating, of course, because there were no races. There weren't any races in the books. We were talking about all the off-season stuff, the changes that had taken place. Right, the charter, Tony Stewart not being a player yet. Let me get your impression so far through 6 races right now in NASCAR. And, of course, obviously you can, bring them all in. I mean, bring Xfinity in, bring them all in. We pretty much concentrate on Sprint Cup, but, what we've seen so far, it seems to me, great racing, really, really competitive racing, nice, tight races so far that we've seen in a couple of them. The low downforce seems to be getting high, high praise and marks from so many people, and that's one of the things that a lot of people are crediting this good racing to. But as I've pointed out now for the past couple of weeks, one of the things that strikes me is it's ho-hum kind of business as usual. I'm waiting for the dark horses. Give us your initial impressions on this season.
This season, the start of the season has been one of the, in my opinion, one of the best starts to the season. I personally think the racing is the best it's been in at least 10 years. I think you've got everybody in the field, all 40 cars, including some of the lower teams, everybody's competitive and everybody's searching for that one extra inch and extra speed to get up to the front. And I have to say, here in a couple weeks at Talladega, I think you'll see the dark horses rise.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll get your thoughts on who in particular you might think that could be, because I'll tell you right now, that's kind of what I've been waiting for. And the reason I'm waiting on that is because, to me, that's going to indicate that the changes they've made to the cars themselves are having the real effect that I think everybody wants to see, which is we're going to see a little bit, I don't know, I don't want to say parity, but maybe that is exactly what I want to say. Maybe it is parity. Yeah, maybe that is the word that I want. What you want to see is kind of a level playing field a little bit.
Yeah. You want to see well. You want to see what you can get. You want to see everybody be competitive, but you don't want to see one driver dominate each and every week. And that's what I think drawed away viewers last year and the years before, is that you'd have the Kevin Harvicks or you'd have the Kyle Busch that just comes out and dominates. And I hate to say it, I don't like going and I'm having a hard time trying to watch tonight's Xfinity race because of the fact that Kyle Busch is starting on the pole. He'll probably lead every lap and win. I mean, so I think the racing in the Cup Series is getting better. I think it's the best it's been. I think everybody really has a good shot at the super speedways, and I'm almost thinking the short tracks are about going to be the same way.
Interesting. Now,
I think you're going to.
Go into what you were talking about there. What have we got so far already early this season? Two wins for Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski's got to win, Denny Hamlin's got to win. All right. No big surprises in any of those. And Johnson with the multiple win, that's kind of his MO anyhow, right? Jimmy Johnson goes out, he gets his wins early, and they lock themselves into the chase early on in the season, and then they'll spend three quarters of the season tinkering around with the car and not giving a damn.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Basically just testing for the chase.
So, if we're looking at a dark horse, could we look at somebody like an Austin Dillon?
I don't think, I mean, I think you could consider Austin Dillon a dark horse, but with him having the funding and everything behind him, I think really you couldn't consider him a dark horse. I'm more looking right now at A.J. Allmendinger after his second-place finish last week at Martinsville, and he's doing really well in practice and qualifying this weekend. I think he could be a threat. There's a couple of the underfunded teams that I think have really showed that they're here and they mean business this year, and I'm talking about that Circle Sport Levine Family Racing team with Michael McDowell some weeks, and then you got Ty the other weeks. I think you could see Michael almost go to victory lane at Talladega.
Wow,
that would be a surprise.
Yeah, I think everybody, I'd love it. I would love that. I think that would be awesome. Of course, I probably wouldn't have McDowell on my fantasy team for sure. I don't even think Sidekick probably would.
I might now.
Well, I mean, considering at Daytona, he finished 15th. And in every week since that weekend, they've gone the tracks, and they have improved from their 2015 rankings. They've improved on their positions. Last week at Martinsville was the first time Michael's raced at Martinsville in almost 2 years, and he goes out and finishes 24th. I mean, the progression of getting better is coming, and I can see – I say top five at Talladega. I say Michael McDowell finishes top five at Talladega. Go ahead and write that down.
Whoa, I am writing it down. You heard it here first, folks. Now, you didn't hear it from me. You heard it from Christian. I'll give you your proper credit there, Christian. Top five. Okay, top five. What about a rookie class? How about this rookie class, Christian? I
Ryan
gotta tell
Blaney
you
and...
Yeah, Ryan Blaney and this is going to be
Chase
fun
Elliott.
To watch. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch all season long. Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott going at each other all year long. And interestingly, out of Martinsville, here we go again. They come in 19 and 20 respectively. And that 19 for Ryan was just enough to get him basically right now on the leaderboard above the cut line. He's now number 15. Chase is 16 on the leaderboard, which I think is awesome. This thing's going to get fun, isn't it?
I think the rookie race this year will come down to Homestead. I say whoever finishes highest to Homestead not only will win the championship in the chase, but I think whoever finishes highest out of those two will win the rookie of the year this year also. And I have high expectations of Brian Blaney this year, and I have high expectations for Chase Elliott.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If I can stop coughing here for a second, I'm on mute dying. So when we talk about, we got Chase Elliott, who inherits the 24, and then we've got Ryan Blaney racing for the Wood Brothers. Doesn't that seem kind of like a David and Goliath story? Here's the heir apparent in a Hendricks funded team. And then you got Ryan Blaney down here, and he's racing for the Wood Brothers, who, as we know, and there's been a lot of debate about, what's the word? Doesn't have a charter.
Basically, your deal with Wood Brothers, and I'm not saying that Wood Brothers and Wood Brothers and Rick Hendrick Racing are the same, but I'm just saying that 21 car is prepared occasionally by the Team Penske people, and those Team Penske people are some of the best in the business. So I mean, it's not a low money team basically anymore as it used to be, but it's a team that has lack of funding but has good equipment, and that's why I think you've seen teams like that come in each week and do very well, because the car is overseen by professionals that make Brad Keselowski's and Joey Logano's car each week, and that's something that you've noticed with teams like them. They've had to get more sponsorship because they're running better than they have last year. And that was the main reason that Wood Brothers raced every, not the whole season, they'd race this week, maybe the next week. Well, that was because they wanted to put all their money into that one weekend and run better than to run each week, put a little bit of money into that week and run 39th like Jeffrey Earnhardt's doing this year.
Right.
I mean, you notice the 32 team was doing pretty well last year. And this year, they've kind of fallen off. And I don't really understand what's going on with them.
Well,
I don't know if there's a...
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, okay, so is that objective, is that NASCAR objective a positive one from the way you're describing it, Christian? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, is that a positive? Well, I hear what you're saying, and it kind of makes sense. All right, so look, we can't make every single race, but when we do, we're going to go out there and we're going to run the best equipment we possibly can. Now, they're kind of being forced to go to every single race, so in fact, they could be eligible for a charter. I mean, that kind of, I don't know. I mean, I can kind of see the pluses and minuses, I guess, of both. But it almost seems to be a detriment to quality racing because of the new rule.
Well, looking at the past few weeks and looking at the entry list, and when we only have 40 to 39 cars,
right.
I personally do not see the charter system lasting very much longer.
Really?
I think it'll be something I see it going away, and they're going to try to fix it. Because the charter system in the first 5 races of the season. Yes, we used it at Daytona. But other than that, you've either had 39 or 40 cars, and every car is locked in. So that downs the value of a charter. Because if a driver like Dale Earnhardt Jr. makes the race every weekend with a charter, and then you've got a guy like Josh Wise, who drives for the Motorsports Group, doesn't have a charter, but he still makes the race each week and doesn't have to worry about missing. And that's where I see the charter system could be going away. I don't see it going away in the middle of the year, but I see it going away within the next 2 years. And then I think we'll see it return within the next 10. It's a system that needs tweaking, and I think there's work that needs to be done. The biggest thing I like about the charter system is that somebody like Michael McDowell or Josh Wise of TMG can go out and go, hey, we have a guaranteed spot in the race. Go to a sponsor and say, hey, we have a guaranteed spot in the race. Sponsor us. Your car, your logo will get viewed on TV. And that's, I think that's the selling point. That's what I said at the beginning of the season was a good thing about the charter system. But in just the first five races, we haven't seen the charter system really be used.
Well, I have a question for you, Christian. If you think it's going to go away, how's that going to affect the couple of charters that already exchanged hands for money? In other words, Michael Waltrip Racing's two charters were sold to one to Gibbs and one to Stuart Haas. How does that work out? I mean, what happens with those transactions?
Well, I mean, they go away with the charter, and I think to say it will go away is a bold statement, but I don't see where it has a place at the moment in NASCAR. I don't see where it's being beneficial, if that makes sense.
And yeah, well, it would be if there'd be more cars showing up. But
yeah,
right
well,
now,
but maybe isn't this a situation where it's just going to take a little time to catch on? I mean,
yes.
You know, listen, one of the things that I brought up, Christian, and you're bringing it up appropriately and aptly, and I've brought this up now a couple of times this season, has been, and guys, you can vouch for this. I look down the roster, and I go, hey, guys, we're going into this with 39 cars again. 39 cars again, 39 cars again. Now, I think last week we had 40, but that's
this
a short track.
40.
Right, that's a short track, and, of course, it's East Coast, where before we were out West Coast, and Brandon, I think, appropriately indicated, well, that might be a situation where cars don't want to take, you know, some teams don't want to make that trek west, putting all that extra money into transporting vehicles west. You'll probably see the roster come back up to par when you get on the East Coast. So might this be a situation where perhaps it's just going to take a little bit of time?
I think part of it too and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think NASCAR changed the payout structure when they came into the charter system. I don't know that they're paying out, you know, as much as they were to the bottom part of the field or even the top part of the field. You know, per race, they don't even publish the winnings.
You're talking
anymore.
About purses.
No.
Talk about the purses.
Right. I'm talking about the purses from each individual track race. So, you know, if example last year, you could see the last couple guys showing up, and they're making $50,000 just by making the race. I don't know if that's the case anymore because NASCAR doesn't publish it, so we don't know what the payouts are.
Right. Interestingly, Denny Hamlin actually had some comments about that from Texas this past week. Go ahead. Go ahead, Christian.
Personally, with the purse is the deal. The reason why they stopped producing that was, and I really don't know why they stopped putting it on the race reports that people get each week from NASCAR. And I don't understand why they stopped doing that. And I don't think it was. I think it was just they had to eliminate a job. Maybe I don't.
No, I know the drivers. The drivers are complaining because a lot of their contracts are structured that they get a portion of that money, and they don't know, you know, right now they don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like, they don't know, they have no checks or balances with this system because NASCAR is refusing to put it out. That's what Denny Hamlin, Fred House Mike was just alluding to. I've heard Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, a couple of them have expressed some concern. You know, a lot of them are confident that contracts will get tweaked, but, you know,
well, one thing,
there seems something shady about
it. One problem they had was in bringing in the charter system, and this is why the field sizes have been so small, is if you look at last season's teams, you had 44 cars entered in each race.
Right.
Well, you had teams like Levine Family Racing who ran a separate car, not just the 90, they ran a 95. But then you had Circle Sport, who was out here running a 33. Well, those two combined, and that eliminated a ride.
Right, that's true.
So that's why your field sizes are small. It's not because, well, people don't want to put out the money. It's because these teams notice, well, we need to merge so we can have a charter. And that eliminated rides.
I think there were some other teams in the back, though. I think wasn't Joe Nemechek running a few races here and there, and there are a couple other guys last year.
Majority of the teams that ran last year, and I'm not saying this on a mean note, but they were ones that basically started in part, and that's what the charter system, it wasn't implemented to stop that, but it was brought into possibly, okay, hey, here's a little kicker if you want to race each week.
Right.
Now, there's some teams, and I was hearing this earlier this year, and I heard this after Daytona or after Atlanta, was that there's teams that could be at risk of losing their charter because of their lackluster of performance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's one of the things in the charter contract is, what was it? I think 3 years. If you're you know, in the bottom, like 36 to 40 or whatever, or yeah, if you're in a bottom percentage for 3 years in a row,
you get pulled out of the Premier League. You get pulled out of the Premier League.
You get relegated.
You get relegated, right? that's funny. I love how we cross over sports all the time. I was trying to find Denny Hamlin. So I read them today, and gosh darn it, I can't put my finger on the one article that where he was kind of lamenting the fact that they don't publish, you know, the way that the word they used was, they used the old phraseology, the old boxing terminology of publishing the purse, the way that they used to. And he was indicating in there that it was particularly good for motivation amongst the drivers themselves, that the drivers themselves used it as a motivational tool because they would be looking at it to see how much earnings were from one driver to the next. And I guess like anything else, that is absolutely a motivator, right? I mean, we've known that forever in employment situations, sales, and all kinds of things. That is absolutely a motivating factor. So, but I can't find the article, unfortunately. Wanted to get your thoughts real quick, Christian, on a couple of drivers, as you point out. I wanted to get your thoughts on AJ Allmendinger. I guess you kind of alluded to it a little bit. Allmendinger, I'm trying to remember the last time Allmendinger actually won a race. Do we see him?
2014, he won it. Watkins Glen.
That's right. He won Watkins Glen. You're absolutely right. That was a road course. Thank you very much. Great. I I should have remembered that. Can Allmendinger win a race? I mean, we just talked about it. He came damn close last week, obviously. Can Allmendinger win an oval race?
Yeah.
Will he win an oval race this year? And get in the winner's circle.
I am personally looking at Kansas for AJ. I don't know what's got me feeling for Kansas and AJ, but I think that might be the race. Kind of like I got a feeling next week in Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is going to go Victory Lane to Bristol.
Yeah, great.
But
I'm glad you brought up Stenhouse. Go ahead.
But I see Allmendinger going to Victory Lane. I see drivers that hasn't won in a while go to Victory Lane this year. And I'm going with Biffle. I'm really thinking Biffle can pick up and win tomorrow in Texas.
There's an interesting one, folks. That there's a dark horse for you. You know, I'm going back to the year that it seemed like we were talking about Biffle all the time. What was that, 4 seasons ago? We were talking about Biffle, it seemed like, every week, weren't we, Sidekick?
Biffle was the big deal.
We were cursing Biffle every week.
Weren't we? And we're sitting there going,
yeah.
Greg Biffle again? Greg Biffle?
He'd either win or run really well, and we're sitting there, and so next week we put him on our roster, and he throws a mulligan. You know, a ENF or something, you know. And then, yeah, we're like, damn it, I'm never putting Biffle on my roster again. Next week it comes out and he gets like a, you know, top five or wins a race. And we're like, ah, oh, put him on the roster. Mulligan. That damn Biffle. And I think it was that season we've all come up with this gentleman agreement now. None of us put Biffle on the roster because you never know whether he's going to run well or not. Screw it. He's done. You're cut. You're blackballed in this business, kid.
What's so funny about everything you say is that everything you said right there is absolutely true. That's exactly the way the conversations went. There are a couple of drivers, Christian, that are jumping out to me that have really kind of caught my eye this year. Obviously, Chase Elliott's one of them. And I love, like I said, I love watching what's going on between Elliott and Blaney. But Austin Dillon's caught my eye, and interestingly enough, I'm finding a lot of the media are echoing my sentiments. Ricky Stenhouse has caught my eye. I think he's running very, very well. Right now, sitting in 17th place on the leaderboard. There was one other I was going to mention. Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon. You know, has caught my eye. Like I said, many people have brought that one up. But Dillon Elliott, and Stenhouse. You bring up Stenhouse as well. What's going on over there? Is this kid just maturing or what?
I think it's kind of like the deal with Richard or with. We're going to start with Austin Dillon because I feel Austin Dillon's like at the top of my head right now. It's weird because Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is on TV right now. But Austin Dillon, I think Austin will go to victory lane this year. And if not this year, certainly next year. Because Richard Childress Racing is taking over what Stuart Haas has. Stuart Haas is going to Ford.
Right.
Shockingly. And
okay. Does that mean Childress and Hendrick are teaming up finally?
Basically.
Wow.
Richard Childress Racing will become the second team at Chevrolet. Stuart Haas Racing didn't like that, so they decided they would leave. They would leave Chevrolet and go to Ford. I think they think they'll do better at Ford. I don't know how they're going to do at Ford, and I'm kind of looking forward to it.
You don't sound confident. Am I correct in reading your the body language of your tone?
I know a lot of people over at Ford, and I know they produce great equipment, but I really don't know if they're going to turn into a Roush Fenway team or if they're going to turn into a Team Penske, because you know there's two different types of Fords. In the racing right now, you have the teams like Team Penske, who is top five each and every week. Then you have the ones like Roush Fenway, who are just barely making the top 20. And I really don't know where they're going to stack up. I didn't feel good about Martin Truex Jr. this year because of the fact they just switched from Toyota or from Chevrolet to Toyota. And normally the first season with a new manufacturer, they don't run very well. And that's where I'm kind of on the fence with Stuart Haas next season. Now, the ones that are saying that Kevin Harvick is going to leave Stuart Haas, yeah, he's going to leave Stuart Haas, he ain't never going to drive a Ford. I think those people are going to be in for a rude awakening when they unloaded Daytona with the number 4 Ford Fusion.
Hmm. Okay.
I know there's a lot of other media sources that are like me, who are bringing up the fact, well, Kevin Harvick has been with Chevrolet his whole career, and he's going to stay with Chevrolet his whole career.
Well he's already
where he
addressed that.
What Chevrolet teams are left open? I mean, the only free agent next year
right.
possibly would be Denny Hamlin.
Right.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to be amazed when they see the you know, Piggly Wiggly Goodies Headache Powder Frat House Sports Ford Fusion rollout with Sidekick out there running.
On the side, it'll just say "Fear the Beard."
Yeah, that's what I'll have over the door. Instead of smoke, it'll have beard.
Fear the Beard.
But yeah, one of the names that, you know, when we were tossing around all these, you know, the Stenhouses and stuff, for the past couple years, we've all been talking about, and we've been talking about it on the show, you know, who's going to get their first win this season? You know, we've been throwing out Kyle Larson. Where's Kyle Larson?
He came close last week, right? Third.
Right. It's almost like he's the bridesmaid, but never the bride. You know, like, when is this kid going to get in victory lane?
Kyle Larson. It was only his rookie year last year, was it not? That was his rookie year.
No, it was his sophomore season.
He's a junior now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The first 2 years, you know, the first year, everybody, he came out like gangbusters.
Last year,
he kind of had that sophomore slump thing going. Mm. And that, it's, you know, that was the story last year. When's Kyle going to get his first, you know, when's Kyle Larson going to get his first win? And now we don't hear a whole lot from him.
I think Kyle Larson got pulled up from the Xfinity Series too quick.
I kind of agree. Almost like a Joey Logano.
No, kind of like a Danica Patrick.
I kind of agree with him. I kind of thought that too. I'm going to be honest with you. When they pulled him up, because when he was down at Xfinity, he was only down there for what? Wasn't it only 1 year?
A year, yeah.
Yeah. And when they brought him up to Sprint Cup, and I was a little surprised. Go ahead.
He stepped up to Kyle Busch at Bristol, and everyone thought he was going to be the next thing. And I'm not saying he's not going to be a winner soon, but, you know, you get to the point where you're saying, well, this guy's going to win, and you go in and watch this weekend's race, and he doesn't win. It's kind of like, well, kind of having a hard time believing what I'm saying anymore. I mean, it's kind of like Chase Elliott.
Do you think there's any issue with Chip Ganassi Racing? In other words, maybe they just don't have, you know, the top shelf stuff that they need to get the job done for Kyle? I mean, I know they get their engines from Hendrick, but they don't get the same deal like Stuart Haas does.
They actually get their engines from Richard Childers.
Oh, they do? Did they just change that? They run
ECR engines.
Oh, okay. I always thought they were a Hendrick.
They run RCR produced engines, and I mean, what's wrong with Chip Ganassi? I think Chip Ganassi Racing's focusing too much on their IndyCar program than they are their NASCAR program.
Oh, that's interesting. I can see that, actually. I could see that. Yeah.
If you see that's... Chip Ganassi Racing goes out and wins IndyCar races all the time.
You're right.
Yeah.
But you see, their NASCAR team doesn't. Well, Team Penske hasn't won an IndyCar race. I think they may. Yeah, Juan Pablo won at St. Petersburg. But other than that, Team Penske has been kind of spotty this year. But Team Penske has done relatively well in NASCAR. So I think it's all within where the funding goes to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Interesting point. Real quick, Christian, I brought up Stenhouse. Do my eyes deceive me? Am I wrong? But it just feels like the kid's coming along, right? I mean, or am I, Stenhouse seemed to be, he felt like a guy that was always in the, you know, mid rear of the pack. Now we're looking at him sitting at 17th on the leaderboard. Not too bad, I don't think.
He is certainly improving, and I'm going with him winning next weekend at Bristol because of his past at Bristol. He's been very good at Bristol the past 2 years. And that's where I've always felt Ricky Stenhouse would get that win. And I think it could come next weekend.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll watch the qualifying for next weekend. We're talking Stuart Haas Racing. We were talking a little Tony Stewart last weekend here on the program. And report comes out, I guess it was, I believe it was just today out of USA Today, kind of reiterating again what we kind of been hearing for the past couple of weeks. No timetable on Tony Stewart's return. No timetable. It's all left in the doctor's hands, all this kind of stuff. Nobody knows exactly when it's going to be. We talked about it here a little bit last Sunday morning. Brandon had made the observation that, you know, it's going to be really, really difficult for Tony to get anywhere if we get past about race 8, 9, 10. Got a question for you. If it gets very, very late into the season, do you think he could or he would race next year in 2017?
If he does, he'll race for HF Scott. Because Clint Bowyer is moving to the 14. That's contractually already, and no, I've not seen the contract, but I just know there is probably already a contract wrote up for it, ready to roll. And I don't know. I don't want to see Tony Stewart go to HF Scott. I gotta tell my mom today, we were watching qualifying. You watch that 15 car that Clint Bowyer's driving right now? That's the same car that Ed Justin Allgaier drove last year to the top 15 majority of the year. Maybe it just proves how good of a driver Justin Allgaier is. But in my opinion, with Tony Stewart, I want to see him come back and try the Daytona 500 one more time, but I think there's a moment where you go, maybe I just need to step. I mean, I'm not saying he needs to step away right now and not come back, but maybe there's a moment where you look, hey, if I'm going to keep hurting myself and then have to come back halfway through the season and have no chance of the championship, because you know good and well, NASCAR is not going to give Tony Stewart a waiver like they gave Kyle Busch.
Oh, I disagree. I think they've already come out and said that they would consider it.
The biggest thing that they were saying was that it was not a racing incident. It could have been prevented. Kyle Busch's actions last year at Daytona could have been prevented by not racing at Xfinity Series, but who's to say it wouldn't have happened on Sunday? Tony Stewart's deal, he didn't have to get behind the wheel of that ATV. And I'm not saying let's ban them from doing anything outside of NASCAR, but I think there's a moment where you look, hey, I need to be a little bit more cautious. And that's where I don't think you will see Tony Stewart get a waiver, because of the fact that NASCAR will view it, well, he could have prevented from doing that. That's my opinion. And I hope they give him a waiver. I hope so. But who's to say he's not going to come back and be as bad as he was before he got injured? Because you remember how good he was last year.
Not very.
And I mean,
not very.
Well, yeah. He hasn't been good for a while, unfortunately.
No.
Well, I mean, look, he's had so much to deal with over the past couple of seasons, it's not even funny. I think, as Christian's pointing out, you know, let's get this one straight. After a while, you got to look at Tony Stewart, no matter how much you like him, and you got to say, dude, some of this is being self-inflicted. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's not dissimilar to, you know, obviously these guys don't have, I don't know, maybe they could, I guess. I guess they could have contracts like that with their owners that are not dissimilar to, say, an NFL contract where they mandate certain things they can and cannot do off the field. I suppose you could have those kinds of clauses. But it almost feels like that's what you need with somebody like Tony, because the guy almost is, I don't want to say he's self-destructive, but, you know, he's a little haphazard. I mean, you know, and listen, if you want to do that, that's fine and all, but you don't be coming back to the league. Don't be coming back to the league and then looking for a handout.
Well, but I also think that's part of the reason why he became an owner.
Well, to what? To get out of it? Well, then he ought to get out of the car.
Well, no, but to get out, you know, because I'm sure Joe has, you know, had mentioned him, you know.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs probably wasn't real fond about his extra dirt track racing, et cetera.
Well, he wasn't. We know he wasn't fond of it with Kyle. Right. I mean, the fact that Kyle has cut back on his Xfinity or on the truck stuff, I think, this year is because of Joe Gibbs, if I'm not mistaken.
He totally eliminated the trucks.
Right.
No, he did not. He did not totally eliminate the trucks. He raced last weekend and won.
Oh, did he?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he won the race. Right.
I think they just made him cut back.
Kyle Busch is running four races in the truck series this year, which is a lot of people have been telling me, well, you might as well not watch those four truck races.
Yeah, really.
And I think, and the problem I think with Kyle Busch and his team is that without him in the ride, his team will go bankrupt. You notice he had an Xfinity program.
Yep.
He was racing for Joe Gibbs against his own Xfinity program. And you can see where that Xfinity program is now.
This is the yin and yang. This is the yin and yang of this sport and this industry. We've talked about it so many times here. You know, Christian's echoing a lot of, I can hear it in his voice. He's echoing a lot of the same kind of sentiment I have. I hate the cuppies in Xfinity. I hate it. But what are you going to do? As he's just pointing out, you can't do without them. I mean, that's the whole point of it. You can't do without them.
Well, my idea behind the Xfinity series, and this is something that I've wanted to bring up to NASCAR numerous times, is the fact that let's do a coaching system. A Sprint Cup regular like Kyle Busch takes a driver like, let's bring up Matt Tift. Kyle Busch takes Matt Tift under his arm, teaches him his tactics and how he drives, and basically gives him the encouragement and everything to do what he's to get a better driver. And I think if we did the coaching system where you'd have an Xfinity regular with a Cup regular, the racing in the Cup Series would get 100 times better within the next 12 years.
Interesting concept. I think it's worth a try. I mean, for God's sake, I'm all right with it. I just, you know.
Now, and another thing that I've heard is that they want to do a deal that if you qualified for the Chase the year before, then you're not allowed to race the Xfinity Series. That's another good idea. And I don't say eliminate them. I just say cut down on them. Because there's drivers like, I'm going to bring up Michael McDowell. There's drivers like Michael McDowell who's raced for Team Penske and Joe Gibbs in the Xfinity Series and done very well. You've got drivers like that. You've got drivers like, let's say, Ross Chastain. You've got drivers like Regan Smith who are trying to better their rides by racing in the Xfinity Series.
Right.
And that's where I'm saying don't eliminate it, just limit it.
Where was it brought up? It was brought up on one of our shows, and I forget who brought it up. Christian, it might have been you on February. I don't know. I forget. I'm trying to remember. Somebody brought up the concept of just shuffling them to the back. Take the cuppies, put them in the rear. Instead of them qualifying in the proper qualifying order, you just take all the cuppers and you put them in the rear to start an Xfinity race. You know, I'd be willing to go along with that concept.
My mom suggested that you take them and go ahead and give them let the field, the Xfinity field, get five laps ahead of them. Then let them race. I think that would actually be a pretty neat concept.
I don't know.
A lot more racing.
That's like walking out on a golf course with a handicap. That's like walking out on a golf course with a handicap. I like everybody I'd like to see everybody start even. But, you know, I don't want to win with it and having to qualify by saying, well, you know, I got a 5 handicap.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing I think of. Anyhow. Texas Motor Speedway tomorrow, Christian, before I let you go, because you've been very generous with your time here this evening. We got the Jimmy Johnson show coming tomorrow, or what? I mean, this guy's a 6-time winner here, and for God's sake, that's all we ever see. And I think you can tell from me, I don't want to see it, simply because I just want to see somebody else win the damn thing. Johnson coming off of 3 wins in a row here now, right now at Texas. Jimmy Johnson show, or no? Are we going to get somebody else?
Well, I've got a series I've been running recently with my blog with the Are You Feeling Lucky series, and my 4 picks for this week is I've got Greg Biffle, Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano, and I'm kind of filling Jamie McMurray.
Well, now there's a Chip Ganassi car, right? That's a Chip Ganassi car, if I'm not mistaken, right?
and Jamie's been doing pretty well recently. And I think with some time, he'll get better, which that's anybody. With time, they'll get better. And I mean, that's the bad thing about tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to watch the Cup race because I'll be in Nashville with the ARCA series. But I think tomorrow's racing will be the best it's been. I think tomorrow's race might end in the photo finish like we had at Phoenix. Tonight's race, I think, will be dominated by Kyle Busch. I'll go ahead and say that.
All right, there you have it. There you have it. We've been talking with Christian Kolek, the editor and founder of the NASCAR News Source, which you can find at thenascarnewssource.blogspot.com. And, Christian, perhaps maybe we can get you back in here in exactly, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking 4 weeks from tonight, because we'll be doing another Friday night show right before we go to Kansas, in fact, right before we go to Kansas. You could be, perhaps maybe we can get you in for that program that evening.
All righty.
All right. I appreciate it.
Sounds off.
Appreciate you being here with us tonight, Christian. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
All right. You take care. All right. Good stuff there. We got into a whole bunch of different things. Real quick, I just, I'm looking at the Texas Motor Speedway qualifying lineup. Carl Edwards, three-time winner at Texas. In fact, I think he's got the most wins after Johnson. Johnson's got six wins there. There's your Joey Logano up there at second place, sidekick. Truex coming in at third. Chase Elliott's in fourth. Stenhouse in five. Denny Hamlin, six. Blaney, seven. Brad Keselowski, eight. Kenseth, don't worry about it. I'll end up 25th. Is coming in at ninth. Austin Dillon at 10. Jimmy Johnson coming in 11. That doesn't make any difference at all. He could just as easily make that number one, for God's sake, the way he runs it here. We're going to get into all of our fantasy picks and our Eat My Dust lineup stuff here momentarily. Real quick, though, guys, I was wondering whether anybody was able to pick up on the story of the Xfinity owner-driver Derek White. Did anybody get this story this past week?
I am at a loss, to be honest with you.
I saw a flash of it.
Oh,
like,
my
what?
God.
He's gone and went Hendrick on us.
This guy is... Brandon, you're not going to believe this. Derek White, 45-year-old owner and driver of an Xfinity car. Now, I want to get up the exact charges here. He was arrested and now has been permanently suspended by NASCAR in connection with a tobacco and drug smuggling ring. He was the mastermind. This is incredible. Honest to God, they ought to make a movie. They really need to make a movie of this story. He was arrested along with like 60 other people, okay, in a joint force between Canada and the United States, which involved something like 700 police authorities, where they rounded up like 60-some people who were all involved in this network of smuggling. They collected up 52,800 kilograms of tobacco, 836 kilograms of cocaine, 21 kilograms of methamphetamine, and 35 pounds of pot.
Wow.
Ah!
I guess that's how he was funding that Xfinity car.
Right.
Honest to God, I'm reading this. I'm going, this is, you, if I didn't know differently, I would have thought I was reading fiction, for God's sake. It's the most incredible story. Derek White indefinitely suspended by NASCAR. I'd never heard of the guy. Had anybody ever heard of him?
No, I can't say that I have.
Not before that story broke.
Oh, my God. I don't think it's awesome. I just think it's hysterical. I think it's absolutely hysterical.
Well, like I said, that's possibly how he was funding the team.
Well, sure, I guess. That doesn't...
I'm not saying it makes it right. Come on now.
I was going to say, that doesn't reflect back well on... on NASCAR sponsorship, does it now? That doesn't exactly reflect back very well on that. I mean, sponsorship has become so difficult, we now need to smuggle tobacco, of all things. The other thing that's very, very interesting...
Do you
know what,
though? Starter for that?
You
yeah,
know what,
really?
Though? In Xfinity, it probably is. Xfinity, I bet the funding is very, very thin. That's why you see so many Cup teams doing it. Because they're the only ones that can get the funding. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they may not always have a Cup driver in it, but you see JGR and all the Junior Motorsports, which is essentially a Hendrick, you know, satellite. You know, they're all running, you know, in Xfinity because they're the only ones that can get the funding for it.
I'm just reading this off of one of the other websites. A sting operation that caught White and nearly 60 other individuals targeted 70 residences and businesses in Quebec and Ontario and involved nearly 700 law enforcement officers across Canada and the United States. Police said they seized not only tobacco, but 1,800 pounds of cocaine, 46 pounds of methamphetamine, and 35 pounds of marijuana. I had also read in another article someplace, which I'm not putting my finger on right at this moment, that apparently Derek White is listed as a Native American, and that some of his produce, was finding its way back to reservations. peace pipe stuff, I guess. I don't know. Anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we gotta get to. Anyhow, I thought we would. I thought we would throw that one out there just for the fun of it. Anyhow, I'll tell you what we gotta get to. We gotta get to our. Let's get to our fun stuff. Let's get to the fantasy picks. Let's get to Sidekicks fantasy picks. Let's get to our Eat My Dust. I'll give you the update on that. Yep. There we go. We got that sound there, right there. And if I might, I don't know if anybody noticed, but our fantasy league right now is running out of control here. Daytona Cement Heads won again last week. For God's sake, that's their third win in six. Nobody else is winning over there, but Daytona Cement Heads. For God's sake, so we got to do something about this. We got to get. Honestly, this guy's just on fire. Three wins already. Sidekick, you're in second place still with your one win that you had there at Daytona. That's holding you up there in second place. So what do you got for us on the...
But I've also been... What's been saving me is that I've been finishing top fives. You know, I can't quite get another win, but I'm at least staying up there.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm just trying to hang on at this point.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, that's exactly why I'm ending up, you know, with an average of 21. Because I can't seem to get the hell out of 20th, for God's sake. Oh, my God almighty.
You're not in the car, can you, huh?
I can't. Right, exactly. We're, you know, Where is that? Oh, there it is.
Why can't we just get in the running car?
That's what we need. That's what I need. I need a damn running car, for God's sake. Yeah, my rosters, I think I look good, but I don't know. Anyhow.
But what is that? Isn't that always how you feel? Like, oh, this is the winner.
I do.
We all do it. This is the team.
I know.
I feel, and that's why I always laugh at you when you, oh, I feel good about this one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's everybody putting their roster together. Oh, I got a, this is a winner this week. And there goes Daytona cement heads.
Well, you're making me feel good. At least then what you're doing is you're confirming that I'm not completely demented. Very good.
Oh, no, you're demented.
Oh, I am. Okay. What is Sidekick's race trip fantasy team looking like this week?
Well, I literally just said it, and I haven't even looked at qualifying. So this is good.
This is, as you pointed out, this is going to be really good.
I feel really good about this roster this week, seeing as how I just literally picked it. The only problem with these Friday shows. All right, so there is a bit of strategy in it. I did go with Jimmy Johnson this week because, as we said, he's won the last three, four of the last five, and I think that's the key to Daytona Cement Heads winning every week. He's got Jimmy Johnson, so I'm switching it up. I'm running Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch, he runs well here. I'm putting that Joey Logano on there. I've been carrying him. I got to rep my Ford, even though apparently I should be picking Brad Keselowski, apparently. Still running Matt DiBenedetto, Riggin Smith. I'm picking Kyle Busch for my winner. I'm hedging my bet. I'm going with Chevy for manufacturer, just in case Jimmy gets it. And I'm going with Kyle for my Eat My Dust.
Oh!
I think Kyle might pull a back-to-back. Not only did he sweep last weekend, he might get a back-to-back.
Yep. And, you know, since we are talking a little bit about our Eat My Dust real quick, I will mention Brandon picked Kyle last week. And, boy, he cashed in big time. That helped him out tremendously. But, nonetheless, Liz right now still sitting at the top with 187 points. Psychic, you did jump ahead of NASCAR John. You're
yes.
at 176, so you're only 11 points behind Liz.
I'm
John's
coming
in. John's coming in at 159. Brandon, you have moved up incredibly. You are now only 2 points behind NASCAR John at 157. And I am a starting Parker at 114. That's what I am.
I think NASCAR John needs to hit the pits and get some new tires. I think he's running off the torn tires. You know what I'm saying?
I hope you're listening there, NASCAR John.
And Liz needs to be looking in that mirror because I'm going to come up in his corner and take a dive in on her and try to push her out of the way.
Now,
I need to
NASCAR,
leave something in this.
NASCAR John this week is picking, and I will say this, with all due respect, he said, I am picking this one, and qualifying hasn't even begun yet. So he was going at it without the benefit of qualifying, but he said, I'm going with it unless I tell you otherwise, and he hasn't. He's going with Dale Jr. coming out. Dale Jr. coming out of the 16th spot. Brandon, where are you going?
Dale Jr. is not a bad pick. Dale Jr. won his first NASCAR Cup level race at this track, so
that's
you
correct.
Know he has been good here. But I'm not going with Junior this week. I'm actually going to take a little bit of a flyer here. I'm going to go with that Austin Dillon. I think Austin Dillon's shown he does well on this size track. He's running a little momentum to start the season, and we all know his propensity for cowboy hats because he's from this fair state of Texas, and then running in Texas. You know, he's got to be a little extra
that.
Motivated. So I'm going with Austin Dillon.
Now, for those that are wondering, Liz, unfortunately, has not gotten back to me, so we do not have Liz's pick. But if anybody wants to see,
oh,
Liz's
that
pick,
smells like a forfeit to me.
I know. We almost thought of. We might have to make an executive ruling on this.
Joke,
I don't know.
Joke,
but,
she couldn't see you by tomorrow. I think.
I guess.
But we got
to. She could hear everybody. Yeah, she could hear everybody's pick.
We're all like.
Anyhow. What you want to do is get over to our Facebook page, Frat House Sports League, spaces in between, look for our little purple icon, and you will get our all of our picks. I am going to go with three-time winner Carl Edwards off the pole to win here. A JGR car, of course, I'm going with Carl Edwards to win it all. All right, there you go, guys. And there you go, folks. That's our NASCAR Racetrim Motorsports Hour program here for you for this week. As we head down to Texas on tomorrow, 7:30 p.m., I'm not sure, Fox or Fox Sports 1, I have no idea, but one of them will be carrying it. And so
Fox.
Okay, Fox. All right, there you go. So anyhow, 7:30 p.m. for that one. Be here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. I will be back with you then for our relaxed Frat House Saturday program. And, stay tuned to our Frat House Sports Facebook page for the rest of the programming throughout the week. In the meantime, hey, get out there and enjoy the race tomorrow, folks. Enjoy it. Many thanks to Christian Coley for being with us here this evening. Go enjoy the race.